Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/voiceamerica or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Our future is missing. Hi, this is Jason Chesler, host of Speaking of Sports, and this is Our Future is Missing. Please be on the lookout for Christopher Fleming. He is 17 years old and went missing April 8, 2011 at 5 p.m. He is African-American and is from Richmond, Virginia. He is 5'10" tall and weighs 145 pounds, with black hair, brown eyes, and is considered an endangered runaway. He may be with a female companion and may have traveled to West Virginia. Christopher has a scar under his chin and his hair may be in braids. If you know of Christopher Fleming's whereabouts, please contact the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children's Hotline at 1-800-THE-LOST. That's 1-800-5678. To see a picture of Christopher Fleming, please click on the link on the Voice America homepage, Our Future is Missing, or go to ourfutureismissing.com. Thank you.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk radio.
This is America Today on the Voice America Kids channel. Each week we discuss what's going on in news and politics. Now, here is the host of America Today.
Welcome to the program America Today on Voice America Kids Network. I'm your host, Mackenzie. July 15th, it all ends. And no, I'm not talking about another one of those crazy end-of-the-world predictions. I'm talking about the newest tagline for the final installment of the Harry Potter series. Yes, because come July 15th, the movie franchise for Harry Potter completely ends. This is the Deathly Hallows Part 2. And why am I talking about this? You know, it's just a movie franchise that's ending. But the Harry Potter series is a lot more important than, like, maybe Transformers or, you know, some of the other movie franchises. And it's because J.K. Rowling has created something that sort of has impacted us, and especially I'm talking more to my younger audience, something that's been with us since we were little kids, and now that we're, you know, older and we're young adults or teenagers, I mean, it's finally come to an end. And even though the books and the story sort of ended in 2007, I mean, the movie franchise is going to be done soon. And so I think that it's important to, before I talk about, you know, what's being in the news because of this, I think it's important to talk about how important the Harry Potter franchise is, and especially for our generation, because it's a legendary story, the Harry Potter series, and, you know, I mean, at least the Harry Potter fans hope this doesn't happen, but it's sort of the end, and J.K. Rowling hasn't really hinted that she's going to continue with Harry Potter. And besides all of the fans writing sequels and prequels, I mean, this is the official end. And so, like I said, these stories are sort of part of our childhood. And personally, for me, I've read her books, and I loved them when I was a kid. And I even read whenever I was a teenager, a young teenager, and I loved them. And I think that J.K. Rowling did something really special because she created not just a story, but sort of a world where everything makes sense. And she sort of redefined what, you know, the terms a wizard means. And it's sort of the definition of wizard and the pictures that we get from it are completely different for us than it will be for our kids and our grandkids and, you know, even for our grandparents and our parents. And so, like I said, this is something that sort of defines our generation. And, you know, I'm sure some of you are Twilight fans. And people for the, you know, I don't remember when Twilight started, like 2006 or something. You know, Twilight and Harry Potter fans have clashed heads for this about, you know, who's better and what they would rather be in. And, you know, Edward versus Harry Potter. It's all pretty crazy. And while they both have diehard fans and enormous success, you know, I don't think that Twilight is as special because, and excuse me for giving Twilight and Harry Potter that, you know, that whole battle, A New Life, because I don't really necessarily want to hear 500 comments on who's better, you know, like Edward and Harry Potter, who's better, stronger, hotter. I don't really have any interest in that, but I really just want to compare successful things that will define our generation. You know, just I'm looking at how the Harry Potter series has impacted us. And I think that Hogwarts is a special place. And I'm not saying that to insinuate, like, my die-hard passion for Harry Potter role-playing, because that's I'm not really necessarily interested in that. But, you know, as Harry has grown up, so have we. And it captures the kid and the young adult in us. You know, when Harry Potter was a kid, he had different struggles. And when he grew up to be 17, his struggles have changed. And he's grown up and he's made a lot of decisions. And we've sort of gone through those same decisions in a lot of different ways. But I think what J.K. Rowling does with Harry Potter is she sort of captures, you know, our stories and our struggles and turns them into something really special. And I think that's why Harry Potter is so successful. And I think, just going back on Twilight a little bit, and sorry for this, but Twilight is more of, I find it a little bit unrealistic. And I know that's really weird to say comparing it to a wizard world, but I sort of feel like Harry Potter's characters sort of hit home a lot harder than Bella and Edward and Jacob and all those people, because Harry Potter is like us and he's grown up. He's made a lot of decisions that we'll have to make, or, you know, maybe we already have made. And I think that, you know, specifically just talking to my younger audience, you know, it's going to stick to us. These stories and these movies really are going to stick to us when we grow up. You're listening to Voice America Kids Network, and the show is America Today. I'm Mackenzie, and right now we're talking about the Harry Potter franchise. And so I brought up that, you know, as we grow up, we'll remember Harry Potter. That sounds sort of ridiculous, right? I mean, especially if you're not that much of a Harry Potter fan. But I really think that it's sort of important to remember how successful and how significant Harry Potter is to our culture. And, you know, as we hit like 15, 20 years coming behind us, and, you know, we have our own kids, and maybe our kids will pick up Harry Potter books. I don't know. I'm not there yet. Neither are you. But, you know, when we see these names in these books, we see Daniel Radcliffe or J.K. Rowling, you know, we'll remember how we felt about Harry Potter, if we loved it, if it was a huge part of our childhood, or if we hated it. You know, but no matter what, you're just going to remember how you felt about it. It's sort of like the Star Trek of past generations, or just other franchises that are really, really successful and really sort of defined what that generation was about. And I'm not necessarily saying that Harry Potter is our generation, and I think that would be going a little bit too far, but I'm just saying that, you know, with this whole franchise ending, it's clear that more than a few people feel like this defines a lot of their childhood, and that it's going to be something that we'll think about for a while, and it's something that when we're reminded of it, you know, maybe in 20 years when Daniel Radcliffe is in the news and stuff, you know, we'll remember that. I don't know if this happens to you a lot, but whenever I'm watching TV with my mom and she hears a name or they talk about a celebrity, and I'm like, who's that? And she'll be like, oh, it's just a famous actor from when I was a teenager and I was a kid, and I remember blah, blah, blah. That doesn't mean anything to me. I'm like, I have no idea who that is, who you're talking about. That's what Harry Potter is going to be for us. You know, I think when we hear about Daniel Radcliffe and other things like that, our kids are going to be like, who's that? And we're going to be like, oh, you know, he was really famous back when I was a kid. He was Harry Potter. He was Harry Potter, right? And we're going to get a little maybe excited about it, even if we didn't like it. And our kids are just going to give us this weird look, and they're not going to completely understand. But I think that it's, you know, it's just a mark of us growing up. It's signifying that we're growing up just as the franchise is ending. And I think that it's sort of a special time to remember. And I think that it's a good reminder of how our parents and our grandparents have felt when something like this has happened. And I don't want to exaggerate what Harry Potter is doing for us, but I do think that it's something that's sort of special. And, you know, that's why I'm talking about this, because I feel like it is news. I feel like it is important. It's something that, you know, is sort of, I don't want to say it's a part of all of us, but it's something that we're involved in, even if we don't like it. I mean, how many people have you met that are just like, I don't really know much about Harry Potter? I mean, even if they don't, you've heard all the advertisements and you know somebody that loves Harry Potter, right? And I don't want to downplay its significance, as I don't want to exaggerate it at the same time. So that was just my little appreciation for J.K. Rowling, and I think that she did create something that was pretty special. And I think that Harry Potter is a really good role model, I guess, for kids. I think that he's a character that we have looked up to and that readers should continue to look up to. Well, if you're too upset to say goodbye, you're in luck, because it's not quite time to leave Hogwarts yet. So let's get started about the big announcement that J.K. Rowling had a few days ago. And J.K. Rowling has announced that she's going to have a unique online reading experience, and this is called Pottermore. It's excited fans, and, you know, it's bringing up a lot of different questions and a lot of different things that hope about, you know, continuing it or rekindling some things or giving out some more things. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about this, but right now we're going to take a break. I'm Mackenzie. Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Stay connected.
Sign up for our newsletter.
Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com. Kids these days are so connected to the media that they can't help but be surrounded by news and politics. Today's kids get more information than kids of past generations, and because of that, they have more informed opinions. Kids today may not be able to vote yet, but they can certainly influence voters and issues with their voices. Tune in every week for America Today and talk about the issues and influence the decision makers. America Today airs every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Now there's a new destination for video content, VoiceAmerica.tv, just like our radio channels and so much more. Voice America Variety, Health and Wellness, Business, Sports, Green Talk, Power Up Motorsports, and Seventh Wave Network now have their own video channel components. Plus, check out exclusive programming, including movies, music, educational courses, science and history, current events, and short features. High-definition, premier-quality programs available 24/7. VoiceAmerica.tv.
Point of view. This is a look at all of the action from behind the line. Join your host every Wednesday at 3 p.m. whether you're a kid or was a kid at some time in your life. We'll run down all of the scores, talk about the games of the past week, and preview what's coming up in the next week. You'll want to take notes because this is good stuff. The place to be Wednesdays at 3. That's 6 p.m. Eastern is the Voice America Kids channel for Behind the Line. Want to laugh yourself silly over the crazy happenings of the celeb world and beyond? Tune in to Behind the Mask on Voice America Kids. Your hosts will uncover the celebrities you know and love, along with some that you might not know in this country, but they are admired across the world. But it's not just the famous that need to look out. We'll look inside the music biz, stage, and of course, the big screen. Listen to Behind the Mask every Thursday at 8 p.m. on Broadway and 5 p.m. Hollywood side on the Voice America Kids channel. You're listening to America Today on Voice America Kids. Now, back to today's program.
Welcome to the program America Today on Voice America Kids Network, and I'm your host, Mackenzie. So I was talking to you guys a little bit about Pottermore, and maybe a lot of you already know about this, because I know whenever there was an announcement for the announcement, it's kind of weird, but the week before J.K. Rowling was supposed to make an announcement, I remember my Facebook was blowing up with all my friends saying, J.K. Rowling's making a huge announcement about the Harry Potter franchise and stuff like that. So I bet a lot of you already know about this, but I just want to report on it a little bit and give you some of my feelings about it and what Daniel Radcliffe has to say about this, which I think is the most interesting part of it. So allow me to paraphrase here and there, but J.K. Rowling says that, you know, she couldn't have asked for a more wonderful, diverse, and loyal readership, and she's excited to be in this position to give us, the readers, something unique about her stories. And so she's not letting the story completely die, and she hasn't let it die from 2007. She's been working on this for a while, and that she's giving us an experience unlike any other, and that it's going to be an online reading experience. And this is all really the details that we're getting. But she says that it's sort of just like a community where you create the story a little bit in part, and that Pottermore, which is what this online reading experience is called, it will be a place where fans of any age can share, participate in, and rediscover the stories. And it will also be the exclusive place to purchase digital audiobooks and, for the first time, ebooks of Harry Potter series. So yes, some things never die, and Harry Potter's not going anywhere anytime soon. And J.K. Rowling says that she's joining in on Pottermore as well. And I don't know exactly what that means. She's being sort of ambiguous, and I couldn't really find any other details other than this. But it sort of sounds like that it might be a sort of, she says, an online reading experience, and that you can be sorted into a house and all this other stuff. And so it sort of sounds like that it's a Harry Potter world, sort of like an RPG, a role-playing game, but it's also a large portion of it is reading. But she says she's going to be involved in it. Not only that she's involved in creating it, but she'll be regularly involved in it. That's what it sounds like anyways. So maybe she'll be one of the head people in it. I'm not sure, because she hasn't really said anything, and I know she's doing that on purpose. And for you Harry Potter diehard fans, you can actually get on this, you can get in on the whole Harry Potter online experience before it's supposed to launch. So it's supposed to launch in October, but she hinted that a few lucky people can enter early and help shape the experience. So that's also July 31st is when you're supposed to return to the website, and how to enter Pottermore earlier than October. And July 31st is Harry Potter's birthday, so that's probably why she did it. And you Harry Potter fans, if you want to get on it, just find out July 31st. I don't really know what else to do. And right, like I said, she was being very ambiguous about the details about it. So she's doing that to create a lot of, I guess, sort of attention for it. And I guess she doesn't want to give everything away, but a lot of people are saying that when she announces, she sort of hinted that she's going to continue on with this story a little bit. I'm not exactly 100% sure about that, but I think it's more hope than, you know, just thinking about it. But I think that a lot of people are hoping that Harry Potter's story is going to continue. And even though I'm not sure about it, because Harry Potter already went to Hogwarts and there's not so much left to talk about. And I don't want to really give away any spoilers if you just read and you're not completely done with it, or, you know, before the movie comes out. But I don't personally think that she's going to continue with Harry Potter, or she's just going to be a very insignificant portion. And she might continue with other characters' stories. But again, that's, I think a lot of it is just hope right now. And I think she was being ambiguous also to recharge that hope in other fans and to get them involved in it a lot. So that way they would be more excited and intrigued, and a lot of people would just pack in and get started on Pottermore. So we'll find out as time goes on. But for now, this is all we have. And are you excited about the Pottermore experience? If you'd like to email the show and talk about your feelings about this Harry Potter online experience, just send it to voiceamericakids@yahoo.com. Make sure you mention my name, Mackenzie, and mention the name of my show, America Today, and just tell me something, or if you have a question, just feel free. You're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. My show is America Today, and I'm Mackenzie, and our topic today is Harry Potter. So Daniel Radcliffe has something to say about this. Who else in Harry Potter? But I'm sure he's sick of hearing me talking about him like he is Harry Potter. He says that whenever he was questioned, this is a little bit before J.K. Rowling's announcement of what Pottermore was going to be. People were questioning him, do you have any idea what this is going to be? He said that he had no idea and he has no interest in it. And he said that, you know, I'm sure J.K. Rowling has more stories to tell. I'm sure that she has more books that she's going to write. But then he added, sort of laughing, as long as they don't involve Harry, I'm quite happy to buy them. So, obviously, he's getting a little sick of being known as Harry Potter. I think that's understandable because, you know, he's been Harry Potter for the past, like, what, 10 years of his life. I think that he might, as an actor, want to reach out. And I think when he was a kid, I don't think he really understood what he was getting into. But bottom line, I think it's going to be really hard for him to shed the Harry Potter part of his career. Because as I mentioned earlier in the show, we're going to remember him as Harry Potter. I think that's one of the struggles of being an actor and being involved in these long-term projects. I mean, I bring up Star Trek because that's the first one that comes to my mind. I don't know why, it's really random, but, you know, William Shatner. Star Trek, right? You don't think of anything else, and not that he really did much else, but... And that's what I'm sort of saying. Daniel Radcliffe, he's trying to get involved into some other projects. He was in the new musical that was... sort of, it started to revive in New York. It's called How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. He's the star of that. But I think there are a couple problems for Daniel Radcliffe. If he wants to steer away from Harry Potter, it's going to be hard for people to want to hire him and put him in different roles because he is Harry Potter. And unless he loses the glasses and maybe even loses, you know, the color of his hair or his look or anything, it's going to be really hard for people to see him as anything other than Harry Potter. So if you see Daniel Radcliffe starting to radically change or something, I think he's going to try and do that, and I don't think we should be offended or anything. But it's probably what he's going to have to do. He's probably going to have to change his character dramatically. And I don't mean his character, Harry Potter, but I mean, Daniel Radcliffe, he's probably going to have to just change not only his appearance, but his attitude. If he wants to be anything other than Harry Potter, and that's his biggest struggle, and that's what he's been hinting at for years. I mean, even when, you know, the fifth movie was going on, he was saying that he, after the Deathly Hallows Part 2, he didn't want to be involved with Harry Potter. And this is what he's saying right now. And it's obvious that the other actors don't want to be part of Harry Potter either. I just mean the actors who play Ron and Hermione and all those big characters. But again, I think that even though they want to steer clear, and I can totally understand, I think that they really didn't know what they were getting themselves into because it's hard to be involved in a huge ongoing project like this and not be remembered as just that. And it's sort of like the kiss of death, right? I mean, while you're a kid, it's great and it's exciting and it's hugely beneficial to yourself. But long term, when you're an actor and actress like this, and this is just my perception because, you know, obviously I'm not an actor, but it's hard to sort of get away from that character that you've been at for this long time. And it's not difficult just for the actors, but the people who are going to cast them and the people who are going to watch them. But anyways, Harry Potter isn't completely done, as I said, and Daniel Radcliffe is saying that even though he knows nothing about it, he has hinted that he might not be done with it forever. But I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, so let's take a break. I'm Mackenzie. Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Do you believe in the supernatural? Well, some do and some don't, which is why Beyond the Third Dimension looks at both sides. You have one host who believes in ghosts, while the other can't think of anything more ridiculous. put them together, and you get some great discussion and some real discoveries and exploration of the paranormal, and then some. Tune in to Beyond the Third Dimension, airing Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. And try not to be afraid of things that go bump in the night.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
Kids face very tough and very real issues every single day. It can be bad. It can be ugly. Now there's something good that can help. Tune in to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll discuss the issues and provide solutions and connections to solutions that you will be able to use. Our show goes right to the heart of today's kids and beyond. Your parents will probably want to listen in too. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly airs Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern on Voice America Kids. You just love your pets. But sometimes they can get to be a handful. And just when you think you have them under control, that's when things get, well, crazy. For help, tune in to Paws Around the World. You'll get the inside secrets on keeping your pet the friend it's supposed to be, along with stories to keep you warm and fuzzy. Listen Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. You are listening to America Today on Voice America Kids. Now, back to today's program.
Welcome back to the program, America Today on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Mackenzie, and we've been talking about Harry Potter. It's sort of fun to talk about this, even though it's ending. It's fun to sort of remember how Harry Potter has been played out through your childhood, if it has been. And if it's not, it's also sort of fun to talk about, you know, how much you disliked it because it was so huge and stuff. But that's why I'm talking about it. I think it's interesting, and I think it's news because Daniel Radcliffe is going on with all these statements, and J.K. Rowling is announcing this whole new Harry Potter world. And I just think that a lot of kids are going to like talking about the end. And, you know, it's not a sad ending because I think Harry Potter is one of those special things that it's going to continue. The fans are going to keep bringing it alive with fan stories or just role-playing and stuff. And so I think that it's something that is going to define our generation. I've said this numerous times within the show, but again, it is something that we're going to remember for a long time. So let's talk about how Daniel Radcliffe feels about the end. So he says that he's been possessed by this intense jumble of emotions. He says, it is bizarre. We've been talking about it, he means the end, for so long, and now it's finally here. So how does he feel about maybe reprising his role for Harry Potter later in life? Well, he says right now he's absolutely ready to stop being Harry Potter. But he sort of contradicts himself later whenever he was questioned about, you know, maybe reprising his role sometime down the road. Well, he says that he doesn't particularly think that he will be because I think that would be a bit odd, he said. I'd be very skeptical about that. First of all, I don't think that she will, and he means J.K. Rowling will write another Harry Potter. And second of all, oh, I don't know, the idea of going back to something after 10 or 20 years, at that point, I will have worked 20 years to establish a career outside of it. And at that point, to go back, it would feel a little self-defeating. And so that sort of hits a lot of Harry Potter fans hard because he's saying that, you know, I don't want to look at Harry Potter ever again because it'll ruin my career. But I think that we have to be understanding that he's an actor and he's not Harry Potter. And that's something that is going to be hard for us and hard for him to remember. But at the end of the day, 20 years from now, although we say we would like to see it, I think that it might get a little bit old and we're not going to be as interested when the time comes. And I don't see another Harry Potter installment coming. And I don't think Hollywood
sees it for at least some time. But what's interesting is that Radcliffe says that he's not, you know, you never really can say never. And so there may be some point when somebody gives him the perfect Harry Potter script and gives him a wand and they say, do it. And this is what he says exactly about it. I could feel completely different at that time, but at this moment, it feels like it would be strange and not the way it should or would go. Well, regardless about how Harry Potter is going to be in 20 years right now, it's been a great run and it's been fun to talk about it. And I hope that it's been fun to listen about it. So we're going to move on to our next topic. This is a pretty interesting one. U.S. Airways allows one man to wear lingerie, but not another man to wear baggy pants. This is crazy. A man dressed in high heels wearing women's underwear and a see-through sweater from Phoenix was allowed to board a U.S. Airways flight to Florida. I really wish I could show you guys the picture because I don't want to have to describe it. It's not the best picture in the world, but I don't even know if I should describe it. It's so disturbing, right? And you would wonder why somebody would be allowed to board in women's underwear. And he was basically wearing a tube top that showed his stomach and a sweater over it that was completely see-through and high heels. And they were like knee highs, I think. It's not pretty to imagine. And please, any image that you start to get of it, just erase it. Trust me. Don't go down that road. But the airline says it has no reason to deny this man of boarding the plane because they don't have a dress code. So as long as he wasn't exposing anything that was offensive, you know, just exposing private parts, that they couldn't remove him from the flight. But it's interesting because U.S. Airways, a little bit before, kicked another man off for having baggy pants. And this, I've seen what he was wearing. You know, it's just that typical look where you wear your pants right way below your waist, but you still have boxers on and stuff. They kicked him off the flight. So this guy's name, who was wearing the baggy pants, his name is Deshaun Marmon. He was upset that he got kicked off, but imagine how upset he was after he heard that the man who was wearing women's underwear was allowed to board while he wasn't. So he's saying that the U.S. Airways is being racist. He's saying that racism is a key role in this because the man who wore lingerie, he was white. And Deshaun Marmon was African-American. And so he's starting to take a stand against U.S. Airways. And it's going to have a lot of legal tension because U.S. Airways, I can't believe this. They're trying to prosecute him. They're deciding if they should prosecute him. Because really what happened is Deshaun, this is what U.S. Airways said, and I don't completely believe this anyway, but they said that they went up to Deshaun Marmon and they asked him to adjust his pants, and then he got angry and he wouldn't, and he got violent, and so they kicked him off because of that. And they said it had nothing to do with the dress code, it was just because he was violent and they didn't want to have that threat. Furthermore, U.S. Airways had the guts to say that they deny that race played a role in this incident, and they have no problem talking with anybody about, all of this, and they have no problem discussing with Reverend Amos Brown, who was the one that sort of said in the first place that this was race. They have no problem discussing why they kicked him off, and they had no problem discussing with the NAACP about their policies. So I think that's pretty, not only are they saying that it wasn't a dress code reason, that it was this violence that got him kicked off the plane, but they're saying, yeah, go on and disagree with us and charge us of all this other stuff because, you know, we're going to take it and bring it on, basically. I think that by announcing those statements, that they're sort of antagonizing people. And they're sticking to their decision, which I find pretty questionable. And I don't know why they just don't apologize and it could all be over. You know what I mean? They could have given Deshaun Marmon. They could have given him a free flight or something. I don't know. They could have done something to fix it and to make people less sensitive. But the fact that they're sticking to their decision and saying that it's not a dress code thing and it's not race and it was because of this violence thing, this sort of arbitrary charge against Deshaun Marmon, I mean, they're causing a lot of problems, a lot of legal issues. I don't know why they would rather spend all the money on lawyers and, you know, make all of these weird statements and have all of these people, I guess, sort of hate them, resent them. I don't know why they would rather do that than just apologize and give Deshaun Marmon, you know, compensation for it. And it would all be done much, much sooner. I'm confused by that, and I don't really see a motive for them wanting to do that. For me, it just seems like it's a lot harder and it's a lot more confusing, and it's just going to cause a lot of issues, and it's going to be in the news a lot longer. It's going to be one of those stories that irritates you, and the fact that they're willing to not solve it the easy way, just it really irritates me. But enough of that. Marmon's family and the pastor are outraged, and they went to the media on Friday to discuss it, but Marmon himself wasn't there because he's still angry and embarrassed. I mean, who can blame them? And so U.S. Airways, what I think is happening is that they sort of looked at him and sort of got the thug look because he was wearing his pants below his waist. I mean, that's sort of the typical social stigma that we place on an image like that. But I mean, his friends came to his defense, and what thug says this? We contend what's good for the goose is good for the gander. That doesn't sound like a thug to me. It doesn't sound like somebody who's threatening me. And so, again, Reverend Amos Brown, who's a San Francisco pastor, is saying that racism is still a part, it's still a fabric of this nation. It's in our DNA. And so when we come back, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about both sides of the argument and really get this down and examine it further. But right now, let's take a break. I'm Mackenzie. Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
The Terrence Rogers Show will take the world by storm. The topics are sometimes newsworthy, sometimes personal, as we explore fashion, entertainment, art, and more. Host Terrence Rogers has seen a lot of life experience in his few years of life. It's this experience that allows him to bring a fresh perspective to the table, and he holds nothing back. Tune in to The Terrence Rogers Show every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. You'll laugh, cry, and most importantly, this show will reach out and touch your life.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
What is Take Two? Take two crazy hosts, put them in front of two microphones, and use your two ears to enjoy the fun. Times two. Take Two. We'll go back, way back to the favorite TV shows of our childhood. Your parents' childhood. No.
Try again, Chris. Take two.
We'll take you back to the favorite TV shows of our generation, past and present, and apply them to what's going on in our own lives. Trust us, it'll be a blast. Tune in to Take Two every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. There is so much going on in the tech field. The Technology Show is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to The Technology Show. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. What are some of the issues that kids face every day? You'll find out when you tune in to the appropriately named Today's Kids. Your hosts are here to open the doors to a forum of all kinds of issues. Nothing is off the table here, and because it's on the Voice America Kids channel, you know you're getting a kid's perspective. Tune in every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Today's Kids. Your hosts will lead this forum of engaging conversation on Voice America Kids.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected. You are listening to America Today on Voice America Kids. Now, back to today's program.
Welcome back to the program America Today on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Mackenzie, and right now we're talking about the U.S. Airways scandal, I guess. And so, right, I've been talking about Marmon, who wore the baggy pants, and he was kicked off the plane while an older man, several days later, was allowed to wear lingerie. He was allowed to board the plane wearing this ridiculous and sort of disturbing outfit. At first, I just want to put my thought on the look itself, that I don't know why it's more offensive for somebody to wear baggy pants versus wearing lingerie. And, I don't even get what the problem was, because the baggy pants is sort of a socially acceptable look, more general. I mean, there are a lot of people who don't like the look and think that it's bad and it means you're a bad person. I don't understand their point of view with that. But, I mean, wearing women's lingerie when you're, let's face it, an old man, that's not a look. That's controversy. That's trying to get attention for being just slightly disturbing. And so, I mean, it's not like he was going to regularly wear that and that it was just him getting on the plane. It was obviously something more than that. He was just trying to get attention, and I don't know why, and I don't know his reason for that. I don't think he was ever really questioned for that, and if he was, and he hasn't said anything about it. But again, Deshaun went on the plane because he was supposed to go on the plane because he was getting somewhere, and he's a college football player. You know, he's not a terrible person. To be a college football player, you have to have good grades. You have to have a certain number of community service hours. You have to be a relatively good guy. And that's not to say that all college football players are great guys, but I don't see anything that says that Deshaun was a terrible guy and he shouldn't be allowed on the plane. But he was just trying to get on the plane. He wasn't trying to do anything extra. While this man wearing lingerie, who's getting all this attention, he was obviously there for something else. He wasn't just going on the plane to get on the plane. It's not like he wasn't trying to get any extra attention for this or any media coverage for this, right? And so I don't understand why they thought that Deshaun was such a threat or something that they should stop, because I see people dressed like this all the time. And regardless, if you think that it's a look that shouldn't be worn, it's still a look that we necessarily don't try to stop and say that it's unacceptable. They're still allowed to go to places, right? But how many stores do you know would kick somebody out wearing lingerie versus the baggy pants, right? I mean, I don't know where U.S. Airways draws the line. And so that's why a lot of people are saying that race is the key here. And Reverend Amos Brown said that race is a part of our DNA. Racism is still a huge part of America. And even though we like to ignore that and we like to pretend like it doesn't exist, we still do judge people based on race, and we still judge people based on their look. And so I think that even though it might not be the key thing, race might not be like the key factor in this, I still think that, you know, I can understand Reverend Amos Brown's point that race is the key. I understand where he's coming from, and I don't think that it's necessarily ridiculous to say that race is the key, even though I don't necessarily agree that it's the number one factor in this. I think that it's more ridiculous to say that Deshaun Marmon was a threat to security and that they felt like it was necessary for him to get off the plane because he was such a threat. And so this is interesting. I just want to talk to you a little bit about the look, because I mentioned this before and I didn't really clarify what I meant. So the look, I think what US Airways stopped him for is because he sort of had that thug look. You know, I find this ridiculous, but whatever. If you're wearing the baggy pants and the really long t-shirt and whatever, this is what Deshaun was wearing. You know, he fits the stereotype, right? And the fact that he is African-American, sort of, I guess for some people, it would make him look more like a thug. And I don't know why US Airways has the right to say that. I think what they did, though, is that they saw Deshaun Marmon and they think, punk kid, I don't want him on my plane. And, you know, I don't understand why you wouldn't do the same thing for the man who was wearing lingerie. You see, crazy, let's face it, let's crazy old man, I don't want him on my plane either. I don't know where they draw it. I'm not following their logic, and they're not following their logic either because they contradict themselves. Well, you're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. The show is America Today. I'm Mackenzie, and our topic today is U.S. Airways controversy. So, to go further with just this whole controversy, you know, prosecutors haven't decided yet if they're going to charge Marmon for the outburst, and they have until July 18th to decide if they will charge him with anything. What are they going to charge him for? The outburst. Okay, so this is the ambiguous story that US Airways gives us, that, you know, the reason he was kicked off is because of the violent outburst or something. And, you know, the whole plane had to be deboarded because of it. But I have something to say about this. I mean, who would you rather sit next to? Because personally, I'd rather sit next to Marmon than this old guy wearing lingerie. It's just not... it's not something I want to look at. And personally, I feel like if I saw that, I would probably ask security to tell him to put on something else, because I don't, that is disturbing to me. And the fact that this whole like baggy pantsing is more disturbing to US Airways shows that they have absolutely no logical argument for this and that they are in the wrong. I think that that's clear, that it's something that's controversial and something that shouldn't have happened. And I think that US Airways is sort of trying to play like the little child, putting the blame on somebody else because they don't want to look bad. But again, the fact that they're trying to defend their argument and going further with that and saying, well, we had the right to, they really should have thought about their argument before they said it, because it doesn't make sense to anybody. I think that it shouldn't anyways. It's very interesting that this happens in America. I feel like this sort of happens all the time, this double standard. But anyways, so US Airways denies that race played a role. I think that it's personally the style, and I think that it was more of a personal thing. I think that the crew maybe just as a whole thought that it was a punk kid and they didn't want him on the plane. But I think that it's very case specific and it's very regionally specific. So I think if, you know, there was an overweight man who wasn't wearing a shirt and stuff, and then there were a lot of people on the crew that didn't like that, they would have told him to get off. And, you know, we probably would have seen a couple days later where if we saw the man in the lingerie, it's because just he was, I guess he was lucky, right place, right time, you know? And I think that, again, it's just the crew's own prejudice that sort of got in the way with this. And again, racism is possible, but I think it's more typical that people base your character on your whole style. You know, he had the whole package, right? He had the thug package. And I don't think that he is necessarily that type of person, but the crew felt like it was. And so that's why I say it was very case specific. But, you know, I just want to say, like, why did they think Marmon was necessarily dangerous? Why didn't they think that the old man was dangerous either? Because this is what I'm thinking. Okay, the old man's wearing lingerie, right? You know, he could be like a creep or he could be crazy. Why didn't they stop him and question him? why aren't they, if they're sticking to their guns here and they're saying that, no, we thought that Marmon was a threat, why didn't they do the same thing for the old man? Why wasn't the old man also a threat? And it's sort of weird to say that, but, you know, he could be a possible threat. He's sort of out of the ordinary. And so, you know, it's not like Marmon had any contraband or anything else. It was just that he had this look. And so they judged him. But why didn't they judge the old man? I don't even understand how you can't judge the old man for wearing something that crazy. And here's another thing. So their argument is they kicked him off the plane because, you know, he had this violent outburst. So if he did get kicked off the plane for the violent outburst, why did US Airways come up to him in the first place and ask him to adjust his pants? You know, I recall them saying that they had no right to kick the old man off the plane because they have no dress code. So as long as he wasn't revealing anything that he shouldn't be revealing, then it was perfectly okay. So that argument is completely thrown out. Don't use that again, US Airways. That's complete. That's just ridiculous. And I don't understand how you, and I'm, you know what? I don't care. I'm directly attacking you. I think that your arguments are completely invalid. You're contradicting yourself. There's obviously something else. And I think that we need to get down to, you know, the core of this. I think that there's something that you're hiding. And I feel like if we are going to judge people based on how they dress, you know, their style, then I think that we shouldn't create this double standard. We shouldn't let anybody get away with this. And this sort of ties back to my last radio segment, where if we're going to do something for the good of security, then why don't we do it for everybody, you know? I think that it's going to be fair. And if it is for security, then, you know, we can talk about security, but we need to do this for everybody so we don't create a double standard. So we're not saying to people that we're judging a certain group. You know, we're just making sure that everybody is secure. How about let's say that instead? But again, if we're just going to judge people based on how they're dressed, I think that we really need to examine that carefully and really refine our understanding and our, you know, we need to study what looks could tell about people. And we really need to get that down to a system before we use that as an argument and we use that for security. Well, thanks so much for joining us. You've been listening to America Today on the Voice America Kids Radio Network.
Thanks again for being a part of America Today. We'll be back next week with more discussion of the news and politics that are shaping our future on the Voice America Kids channel.
The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv today.